Testing. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you all here today. It's good to be back in Lubbock with classes starting, and it's good to be up here before you to share a portion of God's Word. I'd like to thank the elders Barry and Daryl for giving me this opportunity to present to you a study that I've been doing now for over the past more than half a year. And this study is over the book of Proverbs. It's my hope that everything that I share tonight is in 100% accordance with God's Word, His will, and His way. As kind of a real quick recap of where we are in Proverbs, we took Proverbs and we divided it into three parts. Part one showed us in chapters 1-9 a choice that we have, a case for folly and a case for wisdom. We've seen how each one of those, wisdom and folly, pleads for our attention, pleads for us to follow them. Wisdom offers us advice, solace, peace, and a deeper relationship with God, while folly offers temporary and fleeting pleasure at the expense of death, torment, suffering, and essentially separation from God, existence without Him. And now we saw with that good understanding of what we should choose to live a life of wisdom. How do we go about doing that? And that's what the rest of the book of Proverbs is about. How do we live a wise life, applying wisdom to every part of our day-to-day lives? And so this is where we get into the second part of Proverbs. And in this, we see what is a proverb. We saw that a proverb is a short saying in general use, stating general truth or a piece of advice. And we saw that proverbs are to be used in every single part of our lives. The proverbs aren't to be used just at church. The proverbs aren't to be used just when we're at home or just when we're around our families or just when we're at school or at work. They affect everything that we do in our existence on this earth. Everything that we do, every situation we can come into, in some way, the Proverbs addresses how we should live a wise life, and even more broadly, Scripture does, giving us that wisdom that we need to make those wise decisions. We've seen also, using that athletic and physical imagery that Proverbs so tends to do, that we are to be able to do hard things and practice habits and patterns that will make us a better person. Be able to do the things that are hard choices, but are the choices that God wants us to make. Rather than falling to those easy, temporary pleasures of this world, living a wise life, which is the more difficult choice, but will yield greater benefit in the long run. And then in living those day-to-day bits of advice of wisdom, we eventually grow in these habits and in these practices so that it just becomes a part of us and we live a wise life. The Israelites, a lot of times, memorized many of the Proverbs since it was just spoken in their day-to-day world. Kind of like how we say something like, kill two birds with one stone, or the early bird catches a worm, the Proverbs were used in their day-to-day language so that they could learn how to live as God wanted them to live. And so with that, we can begin to look at the Proverbs even deeper. And in order to do that, there are a number of ways you can. You can look at many of the attributes that are wise, such as gentleness, patience, peace, honesty, etc. But if we did that, we'd be here till, well, forever, because there's so many that Proverbs discusses. And so I wanted to take the main part of Proverbs, which is chapters 10-29, what we often think of when we think of a proverb, and divide it into three sections. And those sections are, how can we apply them to our school and our work life? How can we apply them to our family and our relationships? And lastly, how can we apply them to our church family and the fellowship that we have all together? And in this, we'll look at love, obedience, how to be a godly family, how to share wisdom with others, self-control, generosity, possessions, anger, greed, and many other things that the Proverbs address. Divided in this way, we can see that the Proverbs address every single area of our life. There is no one in this building that has ever been in a situation where Scripture did not apply to that situation. where God did not have a will one way or another necessarily on how we could live a wise life, whether we had a wise choice to make between two good choices or whether we have a choice between wisdom or folly. We always have a choice to follow wisdom every single day of our lives. And we'll notice also that as we go through some of these categories, some of the attributes we'll discuss, for example, such as reverence, they'll apply to a number of things here. Whereas in our school and work, we can show reverence to God. We also need to show reverence to God in our families, in our relationships, as well as at church. And so very rarely will we see one attribute fall immediately and only into one category. However, we can just look at how it's best applied in a sense, which may be different for everyone depending on what situations we are in. And one thing as I kept reading through the book of Proverbs and looking at different proverbs is I kept being in this sense of feeling that the proverbs were a slap in the face of how I am living a life that maybe is not as wise as I could be, or I'm in a situation that maybe isn't the best situation that I could have made the best decision in. And time again, you'll read the Proverbs and you'll think, I could have done better. I should do better. And that's the purpose of the Proverbs. We're never going to live a perfect life. We're never going to be in perfection because we are perfect in nothing. But we are always striving in all things to be according to God's word and his will. And with that, let's dive into some of the things that we can see in Scripture that we can apply to our work and our school and other things related to that. Reliability is something that the Proverbs address. It's the quality of being trustworthy or of performing consistently well, consistently being punctual, consistently being truthful, being honest, being loyal. Are we reliable? Scripture tells us we should be. If you will, we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 11 and read verses 1 through 13. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. This is from the English Standard Version. Picking up in verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. When the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. He who is trustworthy in spirit. And earlier in verse 3, it reads, the integrity of the upright guides them. Do we live a life like that? A life where we can say that, yeah, we're reliable people. If someone asks us to do something, we're going to do it. If someone asks us to read something and we say we're going to do it, we're going to do it. If someone sends us a Bible video and we say we're going to watch it, do we actually watch it? I'm guilty of not doing these things many, many times, as we all are, but we need to constantly strive to be reliable. When we say we're going to complete a task, whether that's a work assignment, a school assignment, when we say we're going to take on that role of being such and such a person, such and such a title at our jobs, or we say we're going to do such and such a thing on that project, are we reliable? Because the thing is, when we're not reliable, we are not just hurting those around us. We're not just hurting the project. We're not just hurting whatever timeline we think we're in. we're hurting our ability to be able to share God with others. Because when we are not living according to God's word, why would anyone believe us when we tell them they should? And when they see in Scripture that God wants us to be reliable, God desires us to be reliable, then they would say, well, why aren't you reliable? Why aren't we reliable? And we can apply that to so many things in our lives that we need to look at ourselves and grow in. One thing I noticed is that we follow an ever-reliable God. We can see many, many times in Scripture, God being ever so reliable. Psalms chapter 119, verses 90. Psalms 119, verses 90 reads as follows. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. Turning over to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 reads, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. We serve a God we can rely on, a God we can trust in everything. And you may remember that wisdom itself is an attribute of God. That wisdom was there with God at creation. So it stands to reason, it stands to make sense that when we live a more wise life, we will have attributes of God. We will live more in the way that Christ lived, God in flesh, while on this earth. And so when we live a more wise life, we will have some of these aspects in our lives, such as reliability. Our lives are to be completely different according to wisdom. You'll find that Proverbs impacts every part of our lives. And again, by living honestly and being truthful, loyal, and punctual, our words will matter more to those who do not believe. And when we're not those things, our words matter less. When we tell them Scripture, when we tell them of our hope and our joy in Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter as much because we're just like everyone else. Wisdom is to completely change our lives to where we are so unrecognizable from the world that people ask, what's the deal with them? And then the answer is, we serve a God who is reliable, who is trustworthy, who is wise, and we want to follow him and be like him as he commands us to be, serving him as he desires us to. Another thing that the Proverbs tells us to do or guides us to do that relates to our work and our school life is to take criticism. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, beginning in verse 1. Reads as follows, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 15, reads, that's the wrong passage. I apologize for that. We'll go on to Acts chapter 18. Acts 18, verse 24. This is in the story of the New Testament, and we can see an example of a man named Apollos, who will take criticism, who will take advice, and lives according to God's word, wisely in relation to that. Acts 18, beginning in verse 24, reads, now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accordingly the things concerning Jesus. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples and welcomed him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Here we see an example of a man who was teaching something wrong. He was in error. He wasn't following completely according to the word of God. And someone who knew better in that area took him aside and told him, you are not following according to the word of God. This is how. This is what you should be teaching. And he didn't puff himself up and say, you call me wrong. He didn't get all mad about it. He didn't go on preaching what was wrong. In humility, he went ahead and he preached the truth. You see, in taking criticism, we live humbly. And humility opens doors, that doors may be opened so that we can share the gospel with others. It allows for growth, and it also increases our patience, because no one really likes to take criticism from others. I don't like it when someone looks at something I made and said, that is terrible. I don't like it when someone looks at something I'm doing and says, you're doing it all wrong, and you've done it all wrong your whole life. Do it another way. It doesn't feel good. But yet, if I can live humbly and look at their words and see that it would help my life, see that it would lead me closer to living according to Scripture, if it does that, then I should change. I should not put myself and my pride before simply obeying the Word of God. I should not put myself between saving others and God. We live humbly, if we take criticism, we can open doors with that humility to be able to share the gospel. Another aspect that we can apply to our lives as Christians seeking to live wise life is being trustworthy. And I know this relates to being reliable, but it goes a little bit deeper than that. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, it reads, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 reads, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 reads, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And this verse particular has always been interesting to me. It's saying that it's better for a friend, better for someone who cares for you, to wound you, to hurt you, than for an enemy to praise you. Because our true goal isn't to lift ourselves up, it's to lift God up. And we do that by lowering ourselves and serving him, as the servants we need to be, that God commands us to be. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, we'll see that as we continue to go through Proverbs, we'll reference Ecclesiastes a lot more as these two go hand in hand together in the center of the Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 5, it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Lastly, in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, we can read, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Be truthful. Be trustworthy. In a sense, going off of be reliable. Being trustworthy gives us opportunities that others may not have, the ability to speak to others. Look at the example of Saul and David. Saul, later on in his life, would despise David and tried to kill David many times. But you think of how David ended up being in charge of much of the armies of Saul. He ended up in that position because Saul trusted David. Saul trusted David, and David killed Goliath. No, David didn't kill Goliath because Saul trusted him, but Saul knew that God was with David. Saul trusted David to go kill the Philistines. He tried to kill David, but it didn't work because God was with him. Being trustworthy puts us in opportunities that we would not have otherwise. Another example of trusting someone and giving us opportunity is the example of Ruth in the book of Ruth. Ruth trusted Naomi. And thus you have the beautiful story that we see in the book of Ruth of them in a great and dark time of sorrow leading to immense God-given blessings because of trust. And if people trust in us, we have that ability to share the gospel with them. No one's going to walk up to someone they hate, to an enemy of theirs, and ask what they believe in and take them seriously. They may ask in order to cause confusion or in order to maybe understand more, but not in order to change. But if people trust in us, if people believe in us and how we live in the lifestyle that we choose, a lifestyle of wisdom and not of folly and not of the way of the world, then when they ask about why we do what we do, why we live like we live, they're trusting us. And we cannot take that trust for granted because that is a trust that comes from much work in serving God and living a wise life. And lastly, Proverbs very clearly shows that in order to live a wise life, you have to trust in God, not to trust in yourself, but to rely solely on the Lord for guidance, for strength, for rest, and for salvation. There's a lot of things in this world. There's a lot of things in this life, whether jobs or school or whatever else it may be, that take our attention away from God. There's a lot of things that can supposedly get you to the next stage of life. There's a lot of things that can supposedly give you that happiness and give you that peace that you want. Well, newsflash, it doesn't work without God. For example, that next license that you want in order to be able to work on the new project, that next promotion, if you're not glorifying God while seeking that promotion is meaningless. That license that you desire, whether in my case an architecture license or any other license, if you seek that without glorifying God, it is useless. It is a stumbling block. It is a waste of time that we don't know how much we have. If you're seeking to graduate college or high school or elementary school and you don't do so to glorify God, it's just another day. And there's nothing special about it. If we don't do everything and seek everything with the purpose of glorifying God, with the purpose of leading others to Him, then what is the purpose of it? It's to lift ourselves up. But the only one who can lift us up from our sin is God. And He did that on the cross with Jesus Christ, where Christ was lifted up and died on that cross in our stead. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 reads, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Psalms chapter 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, beginning in verse 19, reads, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? When has God ever failed us? When has God ever gone back on his promises? Never. In the history of history itself, God has never failed us once. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 10, reads, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. We read this verse earlier, but I wanted to read it again. We're to be trustworthy because our God is trustworthy. Again, the more we live a life of wisdom, the closer we will see our walk align with Christ. Because Christ is to us wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Because of him you were in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If we don't seek God out in everything we do, in every task, in every situation in life, then it's pointless. It's meaningless. And as Ecclesiastes says, it's like a vapor in the wind. You cannot grasp it. And as much as the world says you can have these things, you cannot without God. Only in God is true blessings, is true joy, and is true hope and peace. We're commanded to live a wise life, and we've seen a few of those methods of living that wise life today. You want to know how to live a fully wise life? Scripture tells us. First, you have to understand that we are in sin. If we don't understand that we're in sin, then we think too highly of ourselves, and thus why would you make all the sacrifices needed to live that wise life? We are in sin because we have betrayed our God, our Creator. And the punishment for that is death, not any death of this earth, no matter how gruesome, but a spiritual death, which is far long lasting, far worse than anything this world could do to us. That pain is so much, yet God loved us even more, that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, our Creator, God in flesh, to come to this earth, live a perfect life, live a wise life, an example that we can follow, all to die on a cross. The one man who didn't deserve to die a cruel death died the cruel death for you and me. And he rose again in newness of life, living today, and asks us to follow him. And we have that choice. The way of the world, the way of folly, or the way of wisdom. Serving God in everything, in every situation of life. Repent of your sins. In symbolism, die that death on the cross and be buried in baptism and rise again in newness of life. Living life anew. A wise life walking with him. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church. And the prayers of the saints, and we would be happy to pray for you and with you. If so, either of any case, we would ask you to come to the front as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.